Good evening, everybody. This is John Reese from BluePower.com. Tonight it is my pleasure to have a dear old friend, my dear friend Freebo, back again for the second time on BluePower.com. Welcome, Freebo.
Nice to be here, buddy.
Freebo's going to do one live for us to start off tonight.
I've heard it said, the earth looks peaceful when it's seen from outer space. Such a pretty place for you and me. How do we hear the wisdom of the crickets in the night, singing out of sight from way down here, way down here, where there's only right or wrong? Why can't we just try to get along? I've heard it said, there's 100 million galaxies of light, lighting up the night for you and me. We could be just as peaceful as the earth from outer space, living in a place of harmony, harmony. Oh, such a lovely sound. Why do we put one another down? Just consider that there is no wrong or right, and consider that there is no black or white. There are always shades of gray to help us find our way to the light, to the light. I've heard it said, every culture has a history in stone, dances of their own they like to do. Wouldn't you like to be accepted just the way you are? Is that really hard to see? Couldn't we find a way to understand and blow away that line in the sand? Just consider that there is no wrong or right, and consider that there is no black or white. There are always shades of gray to help us find our way to the light, to the light. Dee-dee-dee, 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 dee-dee-dee. There are always shades of gray to help us find our way to the light, to the light, to the light, to the light. I've heard it said, the earth looks peaceful when it's seen from outer space. Such a pretty place for you and me.
Oh, Freebo. Absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
That's John. A wonderful song.
Thank you.
I love the line, be accepted as you are.
Just the way you are.
Yep. You know, thank God people have accepted me for what I am, which is strange enough.
Well, we're all in the same boat, John, and we're all weird and unique in our own way, and I've found, I'm sure as you have, that acceptance certainly is the key.
Well, that song was titled To the Light.
Yes.
And it's off your new CD, Before the Separation.
Yep.
You have been out now for a couple months, right? Working this, promoting it.
Yep. Yep. Came out essentially right at the end of 2005.
Yeah.
And it's actually, I'm very proud, it's actually for the last 3 months, January, February, and March, it's been in the top 10 on folk radio across the country. As far as airplay that it's gotten, you know, it's not going to translate to a whole lot of money, but as far as the audience that I'm looking for and getting it out there and the journey that I've taken from sideman to frontman and finding out how to produce a record that can work on a folk station, but still I can I can come into my excellence as the eclectic guy that I am, because I'm not a folky.
No.
But I'm coming from that background, and a rock background, and a blues background, and R&B background, and pop. And so it's always interesting. And you and I have worked together, so
yeah.
We've both done a lot of producing, and so we know what it's like, all the different ways you can go, how to put it together. So I feel good that I've been able to put it together production-wise in a way that that it works on folk stations, but it still rocks in its own way as well.
Well, it's a beautiful production. It's
Thank
beautiful
you.
Work. I listen to it. I may always make my notes on the back, mm-hmm. you know, which cuts would be good for certain shows.
Uh-huh.
But I've known Freebo since 1978, and we worked together with a gentleman named Sherwood Ball.
Son of Ernie Ball.
Son of Ernie Ball.
Yeah.
And the guitar legend, steel guitar legend. Correct.
Well, Ernie Ball is an interesting cat because Ernie Ball was the guy who invented the concept of different gauge guitar strings.
Ah.
And I mean, before Ernie Ball, there were simply steel strings and nylon strings, one
and
or the
were,
other. And
they were all the same gauge?
They were all the same gauge. They were all heavy as hell. They're really hard to play. And consequently, I mean, once Ernie Ball decided to do that, patented the idea and came up with different gauge micrometers so somebody could use really light strings
yeah.
or medium or heavy or anything
Whichever
in between.
Whichever felt good, yeah. For
so you could really say that there would have been a Jimi Hendrix, but Jimi Hendrix would not have played the way he played had he not had the type of strings that he could do the things that Eddie Van Halen,
right.
all the guitar greats who were able to bend strings in their own way. Without Ernie Ball, it wouldn't have happened. So he's as heavy a guy as Leo Fender.
Absolutely.
Or Les Paul.
Absolutely. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
See, we learned something new.
Yeah, anyway, Sherwood's his son.
Yes, he is. And I haven't talked to Sherwood in a while. I hope he's okay.
He's
his
great.
His family
Sherwood's
is
great.
All right.
Yes.
I would like to play something from your new CD.
Well, I appreciate
What would
that.
You like to put on, Freebo? What would you suggest?
Well, I guess the theme of this show and, you know, what's happening in this country, I mean, not to get too heavy, but it's pretty heavy times we're in. I
yeah.
come from the 60s, as you do, and I feel like I came of age in the 60s. And I was anti-Vietnam War, and the older I get, the more I seem to find I'm against killing.
Period.
And it was interesting. I was listening even to Air America on the way over, which is a very liberal station.
Yeah.
Their news came on in the local Air America station, and the announcer was talking about how some suspected Al Qaeda members in Afghanistan were killed, and I thought that's interesting. It was said in such a way that it was a good thing. And it's interesting what the mentality is in this country. It's really about good guys, bad guys.
Yeah, and, it's kind of the Western mentality.
It's the Western, like as in John Wayne Western.
Yeah.
And if it's a bad guy, it's okay to kill him. And, of course, I mean, nobody who's ever fought a war has thought of himself as the bad guy. Everybody's a good guy. The other guy is the bad guy.
Yeah.
So somebody must be, you know, it's all a question of perception. So it's... I guess there's a lot of theme on this record about that, and I, as I get older, I become more and more anti-war and more in terms of engagement. You know, there's this whole theory about don't dialogue with and don't negotiate with the terrorist. I think just the opposite.
Yeah.
I think if I mean here we are, basically we're negotiating with the PLO. In fact, we wish the PLO were back there. Our country does, as opposed to Hamas.
Yeah,
you know. And the point is, in 72, when they did the Munich thing, from the time they came of age, 72, 82, 91, so what, 34 years, we haven't negotiated with them. Didn't finally start negotiating. Imagine if we had started negotiating originally. Say, okay, we're not in favor of what you did or how you did it, but. What's your problem? What's your gripe? Because everybody has one. It's like a little kid who's crying out. At first, the kid cries out, and eventually, the kid acts out.
Yeah.
And we're all grown-up kids, is what we are. So to see this paradigm continued over and over again.
It hasn't changed.
It hasn't changed.
In 50 years.
I don't think it's changed in 5,000 years.
You're probably right about that.
Yeah.
I'm speaking specifically about America and the way that they do business.
Right.
And that's basically what it comes down to, is keeping the standard of life in America no matter what. It's corporations have gone, our government has manipulated countries in order for corporations to be able to do business in those countries.
Absolutely.
And no matter what happens to the people in those countries,
right.
It aggravates me
It. And most Americans actually aren't aware that I believe that the problem in this country is ignorance. And that doesn't mean, not stupidity.
No. Nope.
I think the average person, I think I'm a pretty smart guy. I went to college, have college educated parents. I was raised in a little coal town in upstate Pennsylvania, eastern Pennsylvania, born in the 40s, raised in the 50s, like I said, came of age in the 60s. And until I got quote unquote turned on in the 60s and was around people who knew stuff that I didn't know, I was very John Wayne-ish. I was very post-World War II, gung-ho America, believed completely in what my government had to say, was very red, white, and blue. We were always the good guys. Every time we went to war, we were the good guys against the bad guys, really trying to make it a better country. I was completely unaware of corporatism. I was completely unaware of cronyism. I was completely unaware of war profiteering. And Vietnam really opened up my eyes and ears to that. And I'm not suggesting that I'm a complete skeptic. I'd like to think that I do my best to get as much information as I can and then make my decision based off it. So I will listen to Rush Limbaugh on the right, you know, and to O'Reilly, you know, and I will listen to Air America and to Democracy Now!, you know, and I will read the L.A. Times, and I'll even occasionally read the Wall Street Journal, you know, and the Village Voice and Rolling Stone, and just get as
Harper's.
Broad and Harper's and Saturday Review and Mother Jones, get as broad a perspective as I can, and then make my own damn decision based off the facts that I get. And I really believe that if the average person had the information that I have or so many other people have and what's available on the internet, I believe they'd come to pretty much the same conclusions that I come to. Unfortunately, with corporate America and the corporate press and the agenda involved, which is to keep the status quo.
Keep everybody dumb.
Keep everybody dumb to keep the status quo, because if you're a billionaire, life is good for you, and you don't want to mess with
it. That's right.
So change is a bad thing if you're a billionaire. Unfortunately, it is the billionaires who control the big corporation, and now they control the news media for the most part.
Yeah.
So you wonder why you hear all the drum up to the war, and of course, the more you have the drum up to the war, the more people watch CNN and Fox, so it's profitable for them to have this going on. So, you know, not to get too heavy about it, but I think it is heavy times, and a lot of, here comes a bomber right now to get us, John.
We do live near an airport.
We do.
Sorry about that.
So anyway, the idea of a lot of the stuff on Before the Separation, and the song I think I like to play right now is Stand Up, and I'd like to do the version off the CD because, I mean, I can do it live, but it has Jeff Pivar on guitar, and the thing really rocks. And I wrote this with my friend Tom Prasada Rao, and we wrote this 2 weeks. We started it 2 weeks after 9/11. And when 9/11 happened, I mean, I watched it on TV, and I was as horrified as anybody else. And it was like, who would do a thing like this to us and to innocent people? And somehow it occurred to me, and I was very surprised why I wasn't hearing anything like it in the media or from most of the people I knew. It occurred to me, I thought, wow, this is what it must feel like, this is what it does feel like to be on the other side of the bomb. Because we've always been the bombers. We've never been the bombies, whether it be Hiroshima, you know, or Dresden, or whatever.
Or London. Yeah.
You know. And so the first thing that occurred to me was, wow, this is what it feels like. And, of course, who did this? But the next thing that occurred to me is, uh-oh, let's be careful of the payback. Let's make sure that, number one, we find the right person, right people, right country, whatever. And let's be careful that we don't get into the paradigm of escalation and continue this. We've got to find out what's going on. And unfortunately, to my horror, everything that I had hoped wouldn't happen
did happen.
It's escalated like crazy, and now there's more terrorism. Al-Qaeda is stronger than ever. Nothing has been negotiated. Nothing has been settled. And even those who didn't hate us before, many of them do, and to be so divided in this country, and to have it be done in my name is just so frustrating. So Tom and I wrote this song. It started out as the chorus is basically like, what's with this paradigm about payback? The chorus was, everybody, it's a brand new day. Ain't you tired of the same old way? Pay him back, and soon you'll find an eye for an eye makes the whole world blind. Stand up, be strong. Why take it? How long? Stand up, be counted. Let your voice be sounded. Stand up, don't you be afraid. How long, how long, how long? And the don't you be afraid, there was so much fear of
there
speaking
is
out.
So
and,
much
and there
fear.
Still is, because you have the Karl Roves of the world, and you have the right, the religious right, and the hardcore right who wants to keep it down. And I think the only thing that we can do, if we believe, and to me the real spirit of this country and the real idea of democracy, is that we all do have a voice, and that's what freedom is all about, and that's what they say they're fighting for. So that's really what this song is about. And,
well, let's play Stand Up. All right.
Strong. Why?
From Before the Separation, that's Freebo. Song is called Stand Up, and I think it speaks for an awful lot of us in this country. We all have to stand up and look around, because what's going down is not fun for a lot of people throughout the world. I'm happy that you are saying things like this with your music, Freebo. I mean, it takes a lot of guts, because there's a lot of people who are afraid to stand up.
Well, I think that's true, but I think there's a lot of people who aren't. And, you know, if I can be one voice to in this medium to be able to say how I feel and reach somebody else, and that person goes, wow, I feel the same way, then I've accomplished a lot. And that's real important to me. I think that's the role of art. I think it always has been to convey an emotion in a way that it can't be stated simply with words. And again, these are heavy times. I just had the great pleasure of singing on a Neil Young record, and a brand new Neil Young record probably out in a couple months. And he's got, I mean, the whole thing is protest. The whole thing
is
about, he's angry about what's going on, and he's singing about it. And, you know, I feel good that I had one out before Neil, and I've got great respect for Neil. And it was a trip to singing that. I was one of 100-person chorus of some really cool singer-songwriters and session singers from Los Angeles. I was really honored to get the call. And it was really funny, because on most of it, we had to basically sing nuance for nuance what Neil sang. And Neil has a most unusual way of phrasing. I mean, it's exactly what you don't learn in a phrasing class in any kind of school. And so it was interesting to have all these great singers who know the rules, to have to find a way to break them and sing exactly the way Neil sang. And Neil's there, and Neil is one of these real in the moment kind of guys. So he doesn't think how he does it, and he does it different each time. So every time the chorus came, it would be different. And it was almost like a nightmare, but it was so funny, and it was such an honor. And to have all these 100 people just really, really focus on exactly the way Neil sang it, and to finally get it, and to have Neil go, yes. And then to have it sound like a great concept, instead of Neil just singing what he believes, here's 100 other people. So it's the concept of not me, the concept is we.
Yeah.
And again, that's what I'm trying to do. And I'm not trying to make any waves. You know, I'm just really trying to stand up for what I believe, which again is my right. And I know I'm not alone. And again, it feels great to be able to do it, to have this medium, because you know me, when you met me, I was a bass player. And
yeah.
I'm proud of the stuff I've done on bass, and I love playing bass. I actually love it more than ever now, because I have no attachment to it. But it was not really my voice.
Yeah.
And now it is my voice, and it's been an interesting journey getting to that place.
It's been interesting watching you make that journey.
Thank you, man.
Because I believe the first time you were on was with The End of the Beginning, which was your first CD, right?
Yeah, released in 1999.
Yeah. And I was amazed at that point at your facility on the guitar. And because I didn't know that you, I mean, I knew you played with the guitar, but I always considered you a bass player.
No, that's the way I consider myself too.
Yeah.
It's funny, you know, people see you ultimately what you show them.
Yeah.
And for years, and a lot of my stuff on my CDs is really about that. It's about pointing the finger at everybody and everything for what's going wrong, and some one day you wake up through some miracle and you see the three fingers pointing back at you, and you go, wait a second, maybe this is on me.
Yeah.
maybe I have something to do with the fact that people aren't seeing me the way I want them to see me.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's interesting. Looking in the mirror is a tough thing.
It is. It really is. Looking yourself in the eyes sometimes is a tough thing.
Absolutely.
But you know, it's amazing, because the last three or four people that I have interviewed have all felt basically the same way about the war in Iraq. And my wife accuses me of having way too much time on my hands, because I go to all these sites, and one of my favorite sites is a site, and I don't mind saying it, is called Baghdad Burning.
Hmm.
It is written by a lady in Baghdad.
Hmm.
She tells it exactly like it is for the
from
the Iraqi people.
Right. Absolutely, which we never hear in our
airways. We never hear. Of course not.
Right.
You know, we're fat, happy cats over here. We just need to worry about ourselves. Well, I can't do that. That's very difficult. I was born in a war. I was born in World War II. I had bombs dropped on me. I had to run for air raid shelters as a small kid. It's no fun. No kid should ever, ever have to scramble for an air raid shelter and sit in the dark and shake, mm-hmm. wondering whether you're going to live through the night or not.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, my heart is with you, and I, too, love this country. I came to this country in 1947. You could leave your doors open. A kid could walk home at 10 o'clock at night by himself without fear of, you know, of being molested or kidnapped or killed on the street.
In my hometown, the Mahanoy City, Pennsylvania, we used to literally, and everybody did, used to leave our keys in the car, unlocked, parked on the street.
Yeah.
Everybody did.
Yeah. That was when America trusted one another. You know, what has happened to that? Where has that gone?
I don't know. But
fear. Fear.
Well, it is fear. And actually, I think maybe Michael Moore's best movie is Bowling for Columbine, because it's really, I mean, on the surface, it's about guns and about the killing. But what it's really about is about fear and the selling of fear and how America uses fear. And the media uses fear to sell stuff.
Oh, that's, you know, that when the psychiatrist and psychologist figured out that if we'll let them go by.
Hopefully they won't bomb us either.
Oh, yeah. But they found that people who are afraid consume more. They buy more goods and services.
Interesting.
The more fear people have, the more they buy.
Disgusting. Well, certainly, if you're afraid of bad breath, you're going to buy mouthwash. If you're afraid that you're going to get a headache, you'll buy aspirin.
Exactly.
If you're, you know, afraid that if your woman, your period is going to be too heavy, you'll buy the Ultra Tampax. I mean, and it kind of goes on and on. If you're afraid you're going to be invaded, you will have your country invest in a strong defense, way stronger than necessary. And obviously, this whole thing about Saddam Hussein and what he had and his weapons of mass destruction and the way we need to head him at the pass was such a classic example of the selling of fear to sell
a war.
Well, to sell a war for again, and we all have our theories as to what the purpose is, but I think it probably goes back to Project for American Century for the neocons put together in the mid-80s, you know.
There's no miracle that we have approximately 200 bases, military bases, surrounding the Middle East where most of the oil is.
Right.
Okay.
Well, it's no surprise we're going after Chavez either, who I've got a lot of respect for in Venezuela. And I just heard something on the news where it turns out that he might be sitting on the world's largest reserve of oil, if you include heavy crude. And all of a sudden, we make him a bad guy. This guy is actually giving the money to his people. He's got free health services. His people love him.
Yeah.
We try and depose him.
Two times we've tried to coup this man.
Yeah, and you know the story behind that. The last one is that a couple of his generals got in there and they said to the soldiers, basically arrest this guy. And a couple of the really courageous soldiers, just regular old private soldiers, I mean privates, said,
No,
he's our duly elected. I'm sorry, sir.
Yeah,
I hate to be insubordinate, but no, he's our duly elected. I'm not going to arrest him. He's my president.
Yeah,
and that's essentially now that's standing up for what you believe. Those guys stopped that coup and continued his rule.
Exactly.
And again, anybody who's duly elected, this is what democracy is all
about. The communist fear is starting again. They're starting to peddle the communist, you know, communist South America.
Communism. I'm just starting to get this. The real fear of communism is that communism threatens capitalism.
Right.
You know, and to me, it doesn't really threaten. I mean, I think, you know, socialism, look, I mean, universal health care, I'm in favor of that. I mean, if that's socialism, okay, I'm in favor of that. That doesn't make me a socialist. I don't want to have a label on me at all. Yeah. Please don't label me.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm a human being.
I'm a musician, but don't label me with other musicians. Let's talk about any issue you want. I'll talk with you about it, and let's have an intelligent, peaceful, information filled and perhaps emotional conversation.
Yeah.
But don't label me. And, I think most people in America really are in favor of quite a few social programs. And I think the way to marginalize, and again, the media, which is controlled by the corporate media, all of media, the corporate, because this is media right here.
Yeah.
But the corporate media controlled by the big corporation who are interested in profit, don't want to see things change. But I think when we hear that anti-communism, it's just a classic way of
another
putting
smoke
people
screen.
Down. I'll give you one more thing. I just recently went to Vietnam. In fact, one of the songs on the CD is called "We Are All One People," and I wrote it for the children that I work with, orphans and street kids in a wonderful little town called Hoi An in Vietnam, right on the coast along China Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting to be there 30 years after we lost the war. Now, this war that was fought to stop the spread of communism. Well, we lost it. We're doing just fine, I suppose. And what was interesting is the people in Vietnam, North and South, were doing just fine. There were no McDonald's. There were no ugly billboards.
No strip malls.
No, it was a very peaceful place. And what was really interesting, John, is that they harbored, and I talk with a lot of people, they harbored no resentment or anger toward us, and we destroyed a lot of their country.
Yeah.
And we had, 63,000 men killed?
Yes.
They had over a million killed, and a lot of their stuff bombed in some really ancient, beautiful ancient ruins that were bombed and ruined. Just disgusting stuff. And yet they harbor no resentment toward us, and then the Kerry thing comes up with the Swift boat thing, where all of a sudden you see the residual anger in this country. And it was just interesting for me as an American who didn't go to Vietnam 30 years later to be there and watch this and go, wow, this is interesting. They won the war, which, by the way, they call the American War, of course. to them, it's the American War. I never thought about that. But of course it's the American War. It's not the Vietnam War. So the American War, they won. But they don't feel like, okay, we're the vanquished, so they have to come in. It's fine. It's like, get the hell out of our country. Let's live in peace. They've now had their longest period of peace in 1,000 years, 30-some years. They're very happy. Their government is communistic and somewhat repressive, but bit by bit it's getting less repressive. It's getting more and more capitalistic in terms of free enterprise. The people there are happy, and bit by bit it's going to get better. And ultimately you go, well, who are we to make this decision for them? And again, for me as an American coming from here, to be there at that point and go, what's wrong with this picture?
Yeah.
was absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Ladies and gentlemen, Freebo and I were sitting here just talking away, and I didn't even notice that the recording system had just stopped. And so we're going to pick it up from here.
Well, John, it's probably a good thing because you were talking about conspiracy theories, and I think the Thought Police were probably well on their way toward getting you, so fortunately it didn't go out on the air, and you're a lucky man.
I'm probably already on the list, so I'm not really worried about it. And I'm too old to worry about that crap anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I will say what I think because I am an American citizen.
You are.
And this is a place of free speech. And as long as it is, I'm going to stay here.
Well, absolutely. It's actually, it reminds me of one of the songs on my CD that might be interesting for you to play. I wrote this song very much tongue-in-cheek, but it's called The Freedom Wall. And just the concept of okay, about us and them.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll keep them, we'll keep ourselves free. We'll build a wall, and we'll keep the evildoers doing evil somewhere else. And
keep them out.
It comes from that very, very patriotic place, and the setting is probably small town USA, and there's some sort of a politician on the bandstand that's draped in red, white, and blue, and they've been talking about this, and they finally finished, the Freedom Wall, and who knows where it is, but they're finished, and they're talking to their very patriotic constituency, and and Freedom Wall is done, and now everything's going to be wonderful. I'd love you.
Keep all these immigrants out.
Exactly. We'll keep ourselves not only free. We'll keep ourselves free and clean and good and safe, and everything's going to be okay. We will be free behind our freedom wall.
Let's play that.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
And I get to play tuba on this too.
Excellent.
Join the celebration and give a hearty cheer. Let's go wave the grand old flag, the freedom wall is here. Stone by stone we built it, mighty tall and pure. Evil is the illness and our fortress is the cure.
Evil is the illness and our fortress is the cure.
America, America, a better place for all. Laid by hand, marching for a righteous cause, come join the freedom band.
Hello, everybody. My name is John Reese, and I'm host of BluePower.com. I want to tell you about some good friends we have way down in Maitland, Florida. I'd also like to tell you something else. These friends of ours just love the blues. In fact, they love the blues so much that in 1991, they created a radio show called Smokestack Lightning. And today, they deliver some of the most knowledgeable and entertaining blues and R&B shows assembled anywhere in the world today. Mr. Paul Newnham, Tommy Thompson, Marvin Rooks, and Rob McKinney invite us all to listen to their labor of love, Smokestack Lightning. This is John Reese, and Blue Power is proud to recommend Smokestack Lightning, one of the new alternatives in entertainment today.
Freedom Wall.
What a song.
Thank you, man.
An amazing song.
Thank you.
How did you come up with the concept for that song?
Well, it's just, you know, the hypocrisy of what's been going on. I wrote that with Brian Joseph, who's a good friend, a wonderful singer-songwriter, We certainly share a lot politically. I come up with that idea of the Freedom Wall. I thought, okay, this would be the most ridiculous thing, but that's basically what we're doing. We're building this wall between us and everybody else, and the classic thing about the evildoers. So I'd come up, we'll keep the evildoers doing evil somewhere else.
Absolutely.
And the fact that it's so ironic that they're actually, I mean, this song actually could be picked up by the right wing and taken by the extreme right wing and taken seriously, because there are probably some people who believe that that'd be the case. And in terms of the Freedom Guard and locking your door, and
yeah,
it's very 1984, and it's turning Big Brother into the good guy.
Yeah.
And basically 1984, Big Brother was a good guy. I mean, you'd see all this violence and Big Brother would come on, everybody go, oh, Big Brother.
Yeah.
Because Big Brother was the savior, and the
Big Brother is watching you.
Well, that was the fear part, mm-hmm. but the other part would be Big Brother would come on and okay, we're safe now because
we're
now
okay.
Big Brother is watching over us. And it's interesting, mixed messages. It's amazing how much of that is coming true. But anyway, in the Freedom Wall, I wanted to write, and that's what I've been doing with my songwriting a lot, is I'll come up with a concept and then get together with one of my co-writers, and that pool is widening more and more, and it feels really good to be accepted as a songwriter. And so now I can go to other songwriters that I know and respect, and consequently they're respecting me. And so it broadens the pool. So I went to Brian with this one. I said, Brian, let's write a song about the Freedom Wall. And we kind of started, and I knew with Brian, because Brian's got a great sense of humor, that it was going to have a lot of irony and sarcasm and be sardonic and all that whole thing. And I decided once we started to do it that I wanted to take it to a place of, I wanted to do like a bad Salvation Army band. So I knew if I played baritone horn, and horn I played in high school, it wouldn't be that good in tuba. Turned out the Salvation Army band is actually pretty good,
yes,
which
it
because
is.
I'm a musician and I couldn't make it too bad. But it's got that feel. And then I also wanted to put in like a small town type of a gospel, not a gospel, really kind of almost like a white Baptist, you know, the choir that just,
yeah,
that is preached to, and just simply the parroting yeah, choir, and they're parroting. So I got some friends, some Kerrville people of mine, to go and sing just over the top, keep those evildoers doing, and had a lot of fun with it, and had a lot of fun writing the song with Brian, and I figured I'd throw in a little bit of the Phil Oaks guitar, so it's kind of like Phil Oaks meets the Salvation Army band meets the Southern Baptist choir.
Yeah, absolutely. This is John Reese on BluePower.com, and this afternoon we're speaking to my friend Freebo about some politics and his new CD, Before the Separation, which is a marvelous, marvelous piece of work.
Thank you, John.
Would you like to do something live? We'll take out this first hour, since we're getting close to the hour here. We'll take out the first hour. We could do something live. Is that turned on?
I think so, yeah.
Guitar part there?
Yeah, let's do the title cut, Before the Separation, because it really is very apropos to what we're talking about. And, certainly we've both espoused the side that certainly is to the left of center.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's actually closer to the center than some would have us believe. But to me, the real danger of what's going on, John, is the separation.
Yeah.
And it is what the Freedom Wall is talking about, is building walls. And I think what we need to do, if we're going to find any solution to this madness, is to break down those walls and to open up communication. And this song... It's a longing for the days of yore when we were together. Maybe even, you know, the reference to Eden, to the Garden of Eden, when everything was perfect and beautiful. And so it's a combination of I think of my idealism, what I grew up with, and what I still believe in, and despair over what's happened with it, but a lot of hope that that we do have something to say.
Things will be okay after
well,
a while.
That who knows, but that it is up to us. So this song speaks to a lot of these issues, and it's okay. A title cut. So I'd
excellent.
Like to play it
before the separation.
Was it an illusion back when I was young, when everyone was living on a promise? In unity and dignity, together we were one, believing in the freedom of a dream. Once upon a great frontier, not so long ago, the hope of man and earth were so connected. This beautiful creation, here to help us grow, is watching as it slowly slips away. On this carousel of madness, on the horse to kingdom come, I see our dream just melting in the sun. Won't you take me back to Eden, to a time when we were one, before the separation had begun? For the ones who have the money and the many who have not, the great divide grows wider by the moment. Equal opportunity, it doesn't mean a lot to the one who has to struggle to get by. On this carousel of madness, on the horse's kingdom come, I see our dream just melting in the sun. Won't you take me back to Eden, to a time when we were one, before the separation had begun? Hiding in our lives, we blindly close our eyes. Safe but not so sound, no freedom to be found, no. Ooh, ooh, now I will give my heart and soul, show undying faith, fighting for a cause that I believe in. Tactical delusions lead me not astray, for the voices of the healing will survive. On this carousel of madness, on the horse kingdom come, I see our dream is melting in the sun. Won't you take me back to Eden, to a time when we were one, before the separation had begun? Won't you take me back to Eden, to a time when we were one, before the separation had begun? Ooh, ooh.
That was Freebone, Before the Separation, live on BluePower.com. Everybody stay tuned for part two. We'll be right back.